Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Monday. Yeah, episode 100. We've hit the century mark. And I gotta say, it's a happy Monday. Why? Because as a fan of the Kansas City Chiefs, I get to watch another Super Bowl. It's 7 years of bliss here, out here in my house, at least with me anyway. The Chiefs are in their seventh year of this dynasty, fifth Super Bowl appearance, going for their fourth trophy. And everybody under the sun has hated Kansas City and hated hard. One of those retards is Dave Portnoy. Dave Portnoy is the one of the founders of Barstool Sports. He does pizza reviews. He throws a lot of his money away gambling. And honestly, I think he's also, in my opinion, not a very smart individual. All he does is piss and moan. In several games, he's been very public about the referees, the cheating, never watching football again, et cetera, et cetera. And then here he is in the championship game. So I've got about three clips here to play because this is him losing his shit. And I'm going to play this first. It's him talking about the spot of the... there's two plays. It was third and three and then a fourth and one. He's talking about the spot on the field for both of them back to back. Now, for those of you that saw the game yesterday, you know this is the Josh Allen quarterback sneak and then the swing out to the tight end. And let's just go with this for a second. Listen to this fucking moron.
The biggest hose job I've ever fucking seen. First of all, this third and three play, this spot is disgusting. Knee's not down. That's a first down. So that spot off. That's a bad spot right there by I don't know, half a yard right there. And then we're going to go for it on fourth down, which we all know what happens. But the fact that these refs, who decides where, first of all, this is clearly a first down. It's like not even fucking close. And then what is this? That one ref is way past it. Another one's a foot off. You just randomly decide where you're throwing the football. Like, what if the other guy got the spot? This is the most disgusting thing. I'm not watching football ever again. I quit football. I quit. First of all, he only has to get to the line. Are you kidding me? I quit football. It's not even close. I quit football.
All right. Now I'm going to play another one. Which is him with his cell phone, same play. And I gotta say, it's the dude is retarded.
I still, this play, which cost the Bills the Super Bowl, when they run in, you have the ref up top.
Yeah.
Coming in, he has it by a full foot. Look right at this guy. This guy's coming in with a spot. He has it. 23 comes in here, pushes him off his line. Look at this.
No, he
pushes
doesn't.
Him literally backwards. Like, he goes backwards. That's the difference. How is the NFL a billion-dollar league? This is. Look at this guy. 23 coming in, pushes the ref
right
backwards off his line, that little movement. And meanwhile, the guy up top.
This dude is such a fucking retard. Okay. I don't have video in this podcast, but if I ever did, you would watch this play on repeat. There are three things that I hate the most about the NFL in general, and this is just a personal gripe that I have. The line to gain always seems to be just get the ball over the line, not the body, not the person carrying the ball, just the ball. Same thing at the goal line. I fucking hate that shit. I always have. Your ass needs to cross the line because it's no different than if you catch a ball in the backfield and you're running forward 3 yards and then you run back 5 yards to get away from somebody. You get tackled. You don't get to spot 3 yards up. You get the spot that's almost 8 yards back at that point. That's what normally happens in football, down by contact. What pisses me off the most about line to gain bullshit, like right at the sticks or at the goal line, or even when they're going out of bounds and they're reaching across. This is just an NFL gripe that I have. The ball should not be the main qualifier. You should be able to go by where the body holding the ball exits the field of play. So if they're going out of bounds and they stretch the ball across, it's got to be where the body is. It cannot be, you cannot stretch it 4 feet forward and get your, and get a first down knowing your whole body's out of bounds 4 feet behind you. That should not even be a thing, but in the NFL it is. So the other issue that I have is on line to gain. They say it's where the knee goes down, but they also somehow, once the knee hits, the ball, which is clearly up in the shoulder area, is where they spot it. It should be where the knee hits, not where the ball is. That's just a personal gripe in general. So with that little caveat, let's get into the play. The first one, the swing pass to the tight end on the third and three. The bigger problem that I have with this is when this play is run and he throws the swing, his knee hits. His knee clearly hits a yard and a half behind the sticks, but they give him the spot where his elbow is, which is roughly a half a yard behind the sticks. I don't agree with that spot. It should be where the knee hits. But Portnoy is trying to say in his little fucking crybaby toddler voice that the ball, even though he falls forward and slides, the ball finishes at the sticks. That's horseshit. That's not where the ball should be placed. It is obviously going to be placed wherever the knee hits. So that spot, even though I don't agree with it, I believe it should be further back. This shit, whatever, you know. But the play that he is most pissed off about is the following play, which he says is the cost the Bills the Super Bowl. Now, it's a quarterback sneak. It's fourth and one. The issue that I have here is two things. First, that's not a first down. I don't give a shit what Portnoy says or any other Bills fan crybaby or any other fucking professional analysis out there. He is not officially down. You do not blow the whistle when forward progress is not stopped. You just don't blow the whistle. The play is still active. So when he gets hit at the line, just because the ball hits the line to gain, they didn't blow the whistle. That play is still fucking going. So no matter what Portnoy says, he is obviously not listening or paying attention to what's going on. They do not stop this play. They blow the whistle when they feel forward progress is stopped, which is clearly a yard behind. That in and of itself is the end of the discussion. But this guy is going to talk about the fucking refs and where they spot it. And he starts to complain about number 23 getting in the way of one ref, but he doesn't give a shit if Chiefs safety Justin Reed gets in the way of the ref at the top of the screen. That doesn't matter. It seems to be just the one with his back to the guy that gets the spot call. I think they gave him a generous spot because his ass doesn't get officially, Josh Allen does not get his progress stopped and the whistle blown until he is behind the line by at least a yard and his ass is on the pavement. That play is a correct call by the official. I don't give a fuck what any of the whiny toddlers say. And Dave Portnoy is a fucking moron. And I don't believe he knows what he's watching when he is actually looking at shit. Now, here is him for about 2 minutes moaning and groaning about this entire incident.
I'll start.
Go ahead.
The ref's prison. The ref's absolutely prison on that tush push. They got to be in prison. And number two, McDermott has to be in prison. The tush push, they don't know how to do the tush push. All we've heard is Tony Romo. They can't stop the tush push. Let me tell you something.
I'm going to stop right there. First off, the Buffalo Bills did not get the quarterback sneak success. That didn't happen on two of the five attempts. So they actually did fairly well with this. So whatever the fuck he's talking about is just baby gripes at that point.
Buffalo Bills don't do the tush push. They don't do it. They do a quarterback sneak that is as old school a quarterback sneak as they've been doing since the history of time. Allen takes the ball, takes two steps to his left, and goes forward. It's a QB
sneak. In this video, you got John Gruden just chuckling
because
he knows he's full of shit.
Impossible play to stop. It should be banned from football because it's boring and nobody wants to see that. The tush push is when you line up two monsters an inch behind the quarterback. He takes the ball, goes dead forward with 700 pounds of people pushing you forward. It's not a wing back or a guy 7 yards behind you that weighs a buck 10 trying to run up after he's already been hit. How many times are the Bills going to run that play before they realize it's not working? How many times can you run that play? And despite all that, the refs still have to be in prison. Josh Allen had that first down. There's no play in the history of football where that's not a first down. You have two refs. By the way, the play before it was a first down. The play before it was a first down. You have two refs coming in 5 yards apart on the spot. They are 5 yards apart. Who decides who's got the spot? The guy they give it to gets knocked off his line by an arguing chief. That's the whole game.
He didn't.
Having said that.
What a fucking clown.
You have the ball.
Anyway, what a fucking clown. Dave Portnoy should not watch football or talk about it or even be involved in it. He doesn't. No, he did the same shit, you know, with last week's games. He's a fucking idiot. I don't understand how this dude even. I don't get it. Anyway, so let's get on to some other stuff. Donald Trump has removed diversity, equity, and inclusion throughout the federal government, so federal offices. He has in no way stopped companies in the private sector from doing this. It's only in the federal level. But for some reason, this has spooked a lot of businesses, and a lot of businesses have begun to remove these initiatives. Target being the most notable. So Costco, for some reason, put out a statement saying that they will not back off of this stuff because it has given them profitability. I don't have an issue with that whatsoever. But what this did do is it brought out the race hustlers of the world, most notably Al Sharpton. And he did a full speech, guys. Like, this is him. For some reason, showing up at a Costco to get, how do I say this, more money for him. This is all, everything he does is for his own notoriety, his own financial gain. So the best I could say it is he's getting more money in, you know, for his pockets. And it's probably a move that is going to get donors to him. I mean, if you know... This is the thing I've always found interesting about people in this area of politics or news or whatever, celebrity status, let's say. Each and every one of these guys has skeletons in their closet like it ain't nobody's business. If you want to take the case of Al Sharpton, he's the guy that accused the judge of rape. He got found guilty of a defamation suit by that judge. He chose not to pay the bill. And his buddy Jesse Jackson paid it, which I thought was amazing. You know, amazing coming from this upstanding guy in Al Sharpton. He's also one of the contributors to the Crown Heights riots and Freddie's Fashion Mart, all that stuff. He's also someone that got up on a talk show and told Jews to pin their yarmulkes back and come get me. He is a complete and utter race baiting anti-Semitic piece of shit. He also did not pay his taxes and got into a lot of trouble, and he got saved by Barack Obama when Barack Obama took him into the White House, and somehow he got a job on network television, and here we are. He's in front of a fucking Costco being a race hustler.
Corporations came forward and said, we're going to do diversity. We're going to do this because race needs to be dealt with. And for Donald Trump to be able to cancel a commitment they made is an outright affront to the black community, brown community, LGBTQ, gay community, and women that they committed to. So that is why we will stand with those that stand with us. Costco's immediately stepped out and said that they will not back off DEI. On last Monday, Martin Luther King holiday, I announced that for 90 days we're going to research the company that we find that has made the most affront we would call a boycott. But today we are calling a buy-in. I have bought 100 people $25 gift certificates. We're going shopping at Costco because they've stood with us. People that stand with us, we will stand with them. People that do not stand with us, let Donald Trump stop us in 90 days from boycotting them. We will not pay to be rejected and disrespected.
So there you have it. A little publicity stunt for our race baiter, Al Sharpton. He took 100 fucking people with him. They're going to go shop at Costco to support their business and their support of the diversity, equity, and inclusion, all that. But what I don't understand, well, here's the thing, guys. All you, everybody that's out there in the private sector, if you will, you know, private business, things like that, you know, federal government whatsoever. If Donald Trump removes things federally, like it's no longer in the federal government, there's no diversity, equity, and inclusion in the federal government, he's not taking it away from any private business. So why are people up in arms over this? That's what I want to know, is what is the main goal, the benefit, whatever the fuck you want to say, in regards to this in the private sector. I just don't get it. If anybody has any like thoughts and they want to share it, leave it, you know, comment down below. Explain to me how these people, how is this benefiting anybody? I guess is my question. Okay, you're just riling up the public for something that doesn't really affect the public unless they're a federal employee. That's kind of what I'm getting at. Also, with the football thing, if you think I'm way off base here and you think Portnoy is the best ever, then by all means, comment down below. Let me know what the fuck you think. I don't know. I just think it's all retarded shit. All right. So Donald Trump did something with Colombia, and now everybody's mad about their coffee beans. Now, listen. This is what happened. Okay. And I know that there are some lefties out there that are a little upset over this entire situation. But what this is an actual example of what Donald Trump uses this rhetoric for. All right, let's dive in. This is all my opinion, of course. This is all my opinion. Number one, this is, you know, you're going to get, you know, Newsweek and what have you, or is where I'm pulling this from, article wise. So credit to Newsweek. I know Chris Cuomo has a big thing about that. Even though I know I said you got to check out his show, it's actually pretty good. He does have some moments where he gets a little upset about people like myself that don't give proper credit. So, to appease the quote unquote professionals, Newsweek. All right, and I've also gone ahead and got something out of this same story, but from Axios, and like I said, you know, let's dive in. So this is, like I said, this is an example of what I feel Donald Trump does with these, you know, screaming of what he's going to do. And everybody calls him an idiot for saying, oh, you're going to do that? Well, this is going to have him calm down. All right, guys, take a breath. So Donald Trump has gone immigration crazy. He's picking a bunch of people up. He's shipping them wherever they're supposed to be. Well, Colombia, the foreign ministry, all right, denied the deportation flights of these illegals that Trump is sending back home to Colombia. So what happened was that, oh my gosh, something in my, yeah. So what happened, excuse me for that. So what happened is the Colombian president, Gustavo Petro, denied the flights with deported Colombian migrants into the country, writing on his X account that the United States cannot treat Colombian migrants as criminals. I deny the entry of American planes carrying Colombian migrants into our territory. The United States must establish a protocol for the dignified treatment of migrants before we receive them. Now, Donald Trump did not like hearing that. So what he did in response is he decided to announce an unbelievable amount of economic sanctions and tariffs, right? So he said in his Truth Social post, he said that I was just informed that two repatriation, I don't even know what that means, from the United States with a large number of illegal criminals were not allowed to land in Colombia. Trump claimed that the refusal has jeopardized the national security and public safety of the United States. So he announced several punitive measures against Colombia, which he said would be taken in immediately. The announced U.S. measures includes 25% tariffs to set to increase to 50% within a week, visa restrictions on Colombian government officials and their allies, and enhanced customs inspections. These measures are just the beginning. We will not allow the Colombian government to violate its legal obligations with regard to the acceptance and return of the criminals they forced into the United States. All right, so there's the beginning of this entire deal about the migrants and the tariffs. So the president rounded everybody up, sent them to Colombia. The president over there in Colombia denied the flights. He says he wants his people treated better. And then he said, well, you know, eat shit, and here's a couple of penalties for you for being a dick, right? For being an ass about it. So, of course, the response is, you will never, you know, from Gustavo Petro, is you will never see me burning a U.S. flag or carrying out a raid to return handcuffed illegal immigrants to the U.S. Excuse me. True libertarians will never attack human freedom. We are the opposite of Nazis. Very strong wording. Nobody gives a shit. Honestly, it's not going to affect what Trump is going to do. You're saying that you would never, you know, send handcuffed United States people back to handcuff. I don't understand. That whole statement is dumb. And of course, the great Harry Sison wrote on X that Trump just announced huge penalties on Colombia. Everything has just gotten more expensive for you and your family. Here's the problem, Harry. Here's the problem. Nothing happened yet. All he said was, if you're going to refuse the flights, you're going to have to pay these penalties. It ain't got nothing to do with making things expensive. Nothing happened. Nothing was implemented. Trump is simply threatening. And that is one of the things that I find interesting with a lot of the Democratic Party members, is that, you know, whether they're influencers, content creators, or even in government itself, is they automatically take him on in the literal sense. And that's not what Trump is. So what is interesting is what happened after all that. So after all the hissy fitting and Harry sending out his bullshit tweet, right after Trump announced this, the Colombian president said that the government of Colombia is actively engaged in discussions with the government of the United States, seeking agreements that ensure minimum conditions of respect and dignified treatment for compatriots during deportation processes, recognizing them as rights-bearing individuals. Colombia reaffirms its commitment to protecting its nationals and will continue to lead regional and international efforts to find humane and just solutions for the migration. Meanwhile, two U.S. military planes with migrants aboard will seek to find another place to land. Okay, so that's what was said, right? All right, so Axios, shortly after, President Trump won't impose tariffs on Colombia after the government agreed to accept Colombians deported from the U.S. White House press secretary Caroline Leavitt announced in a Sunday night statement reposted by the Latin America country's president. Boom. How does Harry say? Boom. So Harry and all the blue donkeys out there, what this is an example of hardline negotiating. I know we all call Trump an idiot. I know we say he's the biggest dolt out there and doesn't know what he's talking about. And he doesn't care about Americans. And he doesn't care about anything but himself, et cetera, even though for the better part of his life, everybody wanted to be Trump. Everybody wanted to be Trump. He was in every rap video, every rap song. He was in movies. He had his own TV show. Everybody watched it. Everybody wanted to be the very guy that they are now saying is a dumbass. And saying he doesn't know how to do anything. Well, somehow he solved this problem, as minor as it is. He said, we're not taking your planes. He said, well, fuck you. I'm going to put this on you and this on you and this on you. And I'm still landing these planes somewhere else. And they are getting walked into your fucking house. So what did the Colombian president do? He said, we're going to go ahead and accept it and blah, 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 blah. All right. So is Trump still an idiot, or did Trump do something that was pretty good? Of course, why does this matter? It's a dramatic turnaround after the Colombian president said that he was going to impose retaliatory tariffs on the U.S. following what Donald Trump said. And the government of Colombia has agreed to all of the President Trump's terms, including the unrestricted acceptance of all illegal aliens from Colombia returning from the U.S., including on military aircraft, without limitations or delay. Fascinating. So, what does Harry say now about this? Not a damn thing. Not a single post went up. Nothing. You didn't hear about this from any of the other idiots that continue to attack him. Somehow he got this done. Now, of course, we're not done yet, because this is according to DW. This is another issue coming out of Brazil now, because Brazil is condemning the United States on Saturday after dozens of deportees arrived in handcuffs on the plane carrying 88 Brazilian passengers, 16 U.S. security agents, and 8 crew members, was originally scheduled to arrive in Belo Horizonte in the state of Minas Gerais, but had to make an emergency landing in the city of Manaus due to technical errors, said in a statement by the Brazilian government. Federal police received the plane at the instructions of Justice Minister Ricardo Lewandowski and intervened, asking U.S. agents to remove handcuffs from their deportees. Lewandowski told President Luis da Silva it was a blatant disrespect of their fundamental rights, as per a statement by the Brazilian Ministry of Justice. Upon learning of the situation, President Lula ordered that the Brazilian Air Force be mobilized to transport the Brazilians to their final destination in order to ensure that they could complete their journey with dignity and safety. Shut up. I mean, come on, guys. Let's be real here. These fucking people have no problem sending or shipping or allowing these guys to run over here any means necessary. how they look or when they get here isn't important to the Brazilians, nor does it matter to any other country that does this. But then we arrest them for breaking U.S. law and send them back handcuffed to the plane. That's a human rights violation. All I can say to the Brazilian president is go fuck yourself. So that is essentially the big deal with that. And I want to end this by saying this. Now, I know that I did a whole episode. I'm not apologizing for the episode. I'm absolutely not. I'm not. Where I spent an hour and change swinging the bat a few times at the youngsters coming up into the political world. And I know I took a shot at Chris Cuomo as well. So I will not apologize for the content of the episode. I will not apologize for what I said. It is what it is. I said it. I still, in my heart, my opinion, believe that they are political toddlers that have not circled the block enough. And they may have gone to school and are educated a little bit more than I may be. But in a discussion, I don't mind having it with these guys. I really don't. But what I will say is this. I do not apologize for the episode itself. It's out there. I'm not going to delete it. I'm not going to retract it. I'm not going to pull it off. None of that's going to happen. Same thing with whatever statements I made in regards to Chris Cuomo. I believe these are my opinions, and I believe what I'm saying in these about these individuals. And what I will say going forward is I don't hate any of these guys. I really don't. And it does seem that some of them want to have a productive conversation and want to move the ball forward to have a better world, if you will. And I applaud them for that. I really do. Pats on the back to all of them. And I do thank them for making the attempt. And I do think it's awesome that they are trying to get on opposing shows and trying to get a dialogue going. And I really do appreciate that they are doing that. And I don't mind it. It's a good thing. More speech, more dialogue, more learning. It's good for the country. It's good that we get our ideas out there. It's good that we try to come to a solution. And I just want to say that I appreciate that from these guys. I don't agree with any of it. I don't agree with a lot of what they say. Is some of it factually accurate? Yeah. Is a lot of it smoke and mirrors and bullshit? Yeah. But I do appreciate that they are jumping out there and trying to get dialogue going and get into that space and push the ball forward. And I will say that I would love to have that conversation with a lot of these guys and learn and grow in this space as well. So, you know, and I do also thank everybody that has subscribed, everybody that has listened to what I've had to say, and whether you agree or disagree, that's all totally cool, but it's good that you're listening to my point. Excuse me, my point, my ideas about these issues. And having said all that, I hope you guys keep listening. I hope that you guys continue to subscribe. I hope you guys continue to engage, comment, rate, review, subscribe, all that stuff. And I hope that going forward that we grow together. And that is Monday. It's in the bag. Thank you all for listening once again. Appreciate you all. And I will see you tomorrow. Later. I want to break your soul in two.